So hello everyone and welcome for another edition of Soccer Hub Talks. Thanks for being here with us. We are still waiting a bit for our guest. First of all, before we start, please click on the like button and to see if everything is okay with the audio and the video. And if you have some questions related to today's subject, please feel free to write them in the chat box. Please also include some information about yourselves, such as your job in football and also the country where you are based at. So today we have a great guest, a legend, special in Portugal and England, where he played pretty much his entire career in a brilliant way. So, Luís played for clubs such as Sporting Lisbon, Arsenal, Southampton, Fulham, West Ham, Larissa in Greece, Orlando Pirates in South Africa, Chesterfield, where he finished his career back in 2013. Luís, welcome. Are you sure that you finished your career? Because you still look exactly the same when you were a player. So.
Hello, everyone. Sorry about this delay of 1 hour, because it's been completely my fault, because I'm not in Portugal, and I just get you like in a mistake way, like when I said to you, like, okay, I'll be ready at 6 o'clock, but where I am, it's less 1 hour, and it was my mistake to agree to get to this time, and now it's different. But okay, first going back to your question, you know, I think I did finish my season already, into retirement for sure, yeah. Because I've been for 6 years now, 7 years, I think. I'm not too sure. Yeah, but definitely I'm in my retirement for sure. Okay. But I try to keep fit, you know, train yeah. run a little bit, and feel good. Trying to feel good.
Okay, thanks about it. And don't worry about the delay. Everybody understands, especially me, because you know I follow your career since pretty much that you were under 19. So would say like more than like maybe 30 years or 25 years. So 1 hour is nothing, you know, waiting all these years to talk to you. So 1 hour is nothing. So don't worry about it. So I'll do a small introduction. Okay, Luis. And please, if you agree with me, I believe with the clubs that I said that everything is correct. Luis also played for the Portuguese national team, being part of the golden generation of Portuguese players, playing one World Cup, and also he played at the Olympics. What a great career. Congratulations, of course, and I finally have the chance to tell you this. Now the pressure is on my side, because guys that usually watch us, you know that when I interview a former player, I'm a scout, so I do like a scouting profile of our guest as a player. But I have an extra responsibility with you, because you've also been briefly a scout. So the pressure is similar, I would say, for me is the same that you had when you arrived at Arsenal and you had to face Arsene Wenger. So so the pressure is pretty much the same. So Luis was a left winger. When back in the days, a left winger was left-footed, you know. So his main role was assisting, dribbling, crossing the ball to the striker, and he was doing it brilliantly. A very fast player who made many defenders' lives hard, and who usually only had one option to stop him, that was tackling him. And usually they had to tackle you hard to stop you. You were very strong, objective, unpredictable dribbling. But the kind of player that even when you were predictable, doing a dribbling, for example, the defender were even struggling, even in that way, to stop you and that to commit a fault, which is not something that many players have. So usually when you predict something that a player will do, you can stop him. It wasn't the case with you. Luis, were you sometimes even telling this is a question for you. So were you sometimes even telling the defenders what you were doing and to make their life apparently easier, but always with the same outcome, and ending up them running after you.
I know that always like during the matches you have a chat with your opposition, because yeah, you get to play against them so many times, and some stage you know each other, you know the way he likes to defend, you know the way that you like to attack, so you'll be a mix of trying to beat him, and he's trying to block you, to close you down. So yeah, this is probably the minus point, like to play in the same league for many, many years, because you play the same players for many, many years, then it's all, then you need to create different tactics to get through. Yeah.
Well, not always, because you could do the same, like I said. It's pretty much the same, like if you are scoring a penalty and you tell the goalkeeper you are going to shoot that side, and if you shoot well, he doesn't have a chance. So it was pretty much the same. So
I guess, you know, if you tell him, but if you hit a clean shot, then okay.
Yeah, exactly. So pretty much all the, of course, not all the time you were successful, but most of the times. So Luis also had a great crossing, which at the time was crucial, as the strikers were the top goal scorers. And in most of the cases, the strikers at the time had a bit of lack of technical skills, so they have to leave that part to the wingers. So in summary, the wingers were not players that usually would score many goals like today, that you can see the top goal scorers usually. Since we'll say, let's say, since Messi and Ronaldo came, you know, to play, the wingers are the top goal scorers. So it's even more impressive that you managed to score 21 goals in a single season when you were playing for Fulham.
Yeah, but that season, let me remind you, that season I play as a striker, you know.
Okay. Yeah, but you are a winger from yeah. But anyway.
Yeah, definitely. But that season I play as a striker. That one and the following season was 2001-2002. I think I had two or three seasons as a striker.
Okay.
Then all the rest was a winger until I'm over 30. Then I start playing inside.
Yeah. Yeah, but anyway, you have there it's there. 21 goals in a season is quite impressive, even for a striker, you know, even for a player that was like playing as a striker for, you know, since youth teams. Not many players can say that they scored more than 20 goals in on a season, especially in those circumstances. So Luis, once again, and thanks for accepting the invitation. It's a pleasure to have you here. I can see that you keep many of your skills still intact. being objective, as you accepted my invitation in such a kind way and straight away, and as soon as I invited you, you said yes. What was an honor. It's an honor to me. Also show that you are always ready to share your knowledge, and as you were, to cross the balls to the strikers. So I just hope that you are not dribbling in such an accurate way as you were, because to go around my question. So yeah, but don't worry that I'm a very soft defender, so the questions are very easy. You go through them very, very easily. So first of all, is this all information correct? Do you agree with my analysis that I did as a scout? I hope so, as I followed all your entire career pretty much. And if you don't agree, it's better for me to end my scout career today. So just tell me if you agree with what I said, please. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. All good so far. So far, so good. I can't complain. You know?
Okay. All from now on, it's not, you know, I'm not a journalist, so if the questions are not good, that's not a problem for me, because I don't pretend to be a journalist. So the hard part, it's gone. So far,
it's okay. So I cannot complain.
Oh, that's great. Coming from you, that's great. Thank you so much. So before we start, so can you share with us what you're up to, if everything is okay with you? just you know, if it's all good with you, and especially in this situation that we are all facing, everything is okay. We can see by your face that everything is pretty much okay.
Yeah, so for now, since I stopped playing football, since I entered the retirement, I've been coaching. So I've been with at Fulham with under 14s, 23s. Then moved back to Portugal. I've been supporting Lisbon with under 23s now, and then become head coach of under 19s.
Yeah.
So now, and then after I went to Arsenal scouting.
Yeah.
Then after, sorry about the noise because I'm printing something, so that's why.
Okay, it's okay, it's okay.
After Arsenal scouting, I did move to Portimonense under 23s. So after Portimonense under 23s, I moved to Israel, assistant manager at Maccabi Haifa. So it was a great experience. Yes, then after I moved to Everton, assistant manager at Everton. So now, since we left Everton, we're waiting to get to another project. And we're waiting the moment.
Of course. So that's great. That's also a great career as a coach. But we are going to talk about it a bit later on in this conversation. So let's start from the beginning in your football career. So how did all started, you know, in terms of football for you? And how did you end up to play in the Premier League? And also, if you want to share with us, did you have any idol when you were a young boy?
You know that I started in a very small club back in Portugal, La Pentela. It's close to my house. Then after that, I had futsal. Then from futsal I went to 11-a-side. Then after that, I moved to Sporting Lisbon, went for trials at Sporting Lisbon with 11 years old. Then managed to stay to them to keep an eye on me. So I signed for them. Then after that, I did move to Ponte Piedade because I was too small, too thin, you know, not enough strength for the kids of my age at the time. Then I moved and I kept playing. I was studying and playing, and I managed to do it right, to do okay. I moved back to Sporting after 3 years, three nice years over there. I moved to Sporting Lisbon. When I moved to Sporting Lisbon, back to Sporting Lisbon, then I have to stop working because I was working. I stopped working when I was 14. I left school too early. Then, of course, when I stopped working, Sporting gave me a good contract. It wasn't professional yet. They gave me a good contract, but then I end up signing a professional contract 2 years later.
Okay. So, that was how it started, everything. And did you have any idol when you were a young boy?
I can say that I like a Figo.
Okay.
Luis Figo was the one that I really like it, Luis Figo. Of course, I did look at Faustino Spirilli as well.
Yeah.
He's someone that I really like, you know. So pretty much were them two, you know, that I really like it.
Okay. So let's go with Asprilla, because Figo, you had a chance to play along with him, and you are friends. So Faustino Asprilla is, and also
I remember that I follow. Sorry to interrupt. I remember that I follow Portugal under 20s when they become world champion under 20s in Lisbon. Yeah. I follow them. Where they were training and doing all the preparation, I did follow them all over. you know. So because Figo was there, there was another player that was there that was Pesce. I didn't like him.
Yeah.
So more or less was the players from Sporting Lisbon, because were the ones that I knew, and because I've been at Sporting Lisbon before and they were there.
Yeah.
So the ones that I knew, and I did follow them almost all the way, you know.
Yeah.
So yeah, then after a few years later, I got the chance to become them colleague. So
yeah,
it was a massive one for me, you know, to become them colleague. So yeah, it was good.
Yeah, I can imagine. So before moving to England, because you moved quite young to England, have you ever imagined or dreamed on playing in the Premier League or even abroad, maybe in some other country? What were your goals, your dreams at the time?
Yeah, this is kind of dreams that you have, but you never know if you're gonna accomplish them, because it's something that you just watch. We used to watch just the highlights of the English football, and the final, the FA Cup final at the end of the season. Like the Portuguese TV used to show just the cup final, FA Cup final.
Yeah, so
that wasn't enough for us, you know, because we wait like a season long to watch a live game from England, and was the cup final. So that was the only game that we had a chance to watch for all season. So pretty much wasn't enough for us, you know. So it's something that you dream with Premier League.
Yeah.
At the time was Premiership. Something that you dream with, but you're not sure that you're going to manage to one day to play there. So I managed to do in 97, or to break through that barrier. A few Portuguese players been there by the time I got there, like Domingues, Paulo Alves, Paulo Futre, Dani. You know, I think that was the four Portuguese players that were there before me. Porfírio as well. And then a few years later, I managed to break through and to a very special club that was Arsenal. So it was really, 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 really good for me. I really enjoy it. So
so it's a case to say that you joined two things, you know, like that you could play on a league instead of waiting 1 year to watch a match. You could be there actually participating in the matches, and you could also live in London. That to live in London, pretty much to live in the center, you need to be a football player, because it's quite expensive.
London is quite expensive, you know.
But,
to be honest, it's something that you dream with, and at the time you don't think about that, you know. You don't think about it's gonna be pretty expensive or so, or so, you know. You just dream like, okay, it's Arsenal, then let's move on. I talk about Arsenal because at the time it was Arsenal.
Of course.
So, you know what I mean? So, yeah, I just dreamed to play in England, Premier League, Premiership. Then, okay, let me give my maximum to be here. But if you ask me, do you think you're gonna be there like I stayed 16 years, you know, because now 15 years playing. I had 14 years in the Premiership plus 1 year on the Championship. If you say to me, do you believe you're going to play there for all those years? I'll say, no, I don't think I will be in England for all those years. But to be honest, I stayed there for plus another years that I went to Greece for 6 months, South Africa six months, but all of them. Still like that, I managed to stay in England, like keep my place in England. Then I consider myself, because all my kids born in England and all that, so half British, half Portuguese, because half of my career was in England.
Okay, so I can see that you, of course, you, you are from far, better player than me, better scout and better journalist, because you are guessing my question. So I was gonna ask you that. Yeah.
To be honest, I was in the scouting side. I was on a scouting side.
Yeah.
For 3 years.
Yeah.
I was in the scouting side for 3 years. I enjoy myself.
Yeah.
I think I did a reasonable job for Arsenal there. We didn't sign all the players that I would like to, and I want to sign. But but I think I did well. I did well for Arsenal. So, but
of course,
it was
for sure. Yeah. Yeah, they never signed all the players that you recommend, but you know, doesn't mean that we don't do our job properly. You know, many times, you know, it's not our decision. So, can you share a bit with us also how it was your adaptation to England when you arrived, especially to London, because London is one England, of course, it's one thing. London, it's like a completely different place. It seems like a different country inside. I had a chance. I lived also 5 years in London. So it's completely different. How was your adaptation?
You know what's London like?
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah. So
it was like to start with different. It was different, but then after you just get to understand how it is in England.
Yeah.
So I did start, first of all, adaptation that first of all was the language, you know,
the language. Did you speak already? Were you speaking already English or not? Not.
No, it was like good morning, good afternoon, see you tomorrow, stuff like that. No, the basic one.
Yeah.
Then after, I had a teacher.
Yeah.
I had a teacher for 6 months, I think. I had a teacher for 6 months. And then after the teacher for 6 months, I had to start like managing myself around that, you know?
Yeah.
Like, how I'm gonna do, how I'm gonna survive, how I'm gonna do things, you know. So yeah, it was pretty much that difficult, but yeah, I'm a
legend. You made it, yeah, and now it's perfect, yeah. So when after arriving to England, so your adaptation was quite easy, but have you ever thought at some point of going to play on another country? Or you said to yourself that you'd like to stay many years like you stayed and build a successful career in England, or you just took it day by day, or in this case, season by season basis? How did you?
It was like season by season. That's why I said to you before. I don't know if you said to me like, okay, you're going to spend 18 years in England.
Yeah.
What? Yeah. I don't know. I wouldn't believe. I wouldn't believe that I was capable to do it. You know.
Yeah.
Sorry, igual ao que está em baixo.
Okay. So
So it was like that, pretty much.
Yeah.
Igual ao do clube. Faz igual a ela.
Of course. So you joined one of the biggest clubs, if not the biggest at the time, not only in England, for sure the biggest still for to my great friend Charlie. Who I say? Sorry.
Which club is that?
Arsenal.
Ah, no. Okay. Your friend Charlie is Arsenal support as well.
Yeah, I'm always picking on him, but that's another story. But at the time that when you were playing for Arsenal, I couldn't pick on him for sure. So, but now I can a bit. But Arsenal is still, and it will always be, one of the biggest clubs in the world. No, nobody have a doubt about it. But at the time was even more, you know.
I wasn't so big, you know, because Arsenal didn't have like win the league for a few years. Then they were looking to change things, turn things around. So then when I joined Arsenal, Arsenal was like a big name club with big name, but not like title wise wasn't the best, you know.
Yeah.
So then from 97, yeah, from 97 was a proper revolution, like with Arsène Wenger.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah. So when you arrived at Highbury, at the time was Highbury Park. So how did you, as a young player, faced the incredible atmosphere there, being in the changing room and training every day, along with players that were and still and it always will be Arsenal legends such as David Seaman, Lee Dixon, Tony Adams, Patrick Vieira, Emmanuel Petit, yeah. David Black, Mark Overmars, Ian Wright, Dennis Bergkamp, another young player like you, like Nicolas Anelka. Yeah, so all the squads, so basically, okay? So did you feel nervous? Well, you played 21 matches, so I don't think you were that nervous. So how it was?
It was like not so nervous.
Okay.
Surprised when I got when the interest came about, when my agent contact me and said to me that a top six club in England interesting on me.
Okay.
Then what? Top six, and because I was playing on what we call a feeder club for Sporting Lisbon, a Sporting.
Yes, that's a lot. Yeah, yeah, yeah,
yeah. Yeah. So that was like a surprise. Of course, that's to start with your legs going like wobbling. Because you used to see these guys on TV, then suddenly you like gonna join the same changing room.
Yeah,
it was something like different. But when I got there, as shy as I am now, I got there like really shy on my corner, on my place, definitely. But I was able to express myself on the field, on the pitch. You know,
yeah.
So it was something like that. So something really okay, yeah, something top. It was something top. So enjoying pretty much, definitely.
Yeah. How was the integration in the squad in terms of the, you know, the changing room? Was there any player that was helping, especially in particular in terms of the adaptation?
It was good because all of them like were friendly,
okay,
were helping you out, you know. So that was the main thing. That's what you're looking for when you go to a club, you move to a new club, and is important that people like they wanna help you.
Yeah,
you feel like okay, you're welcome. Because if that never happened, then it's quite difficult. If you don't feel like you welcome there, or people like you or something, it's difficult, you know. It's difficult.
Yeah.
So I think it was really, really, really good, really important that I got like loved by everyone, and so it was great, definitely.
Yeah, for sure. And in the trainings, was it good with facing Lee Dixon and facing Tony Adams and David Seaman?
Or you know, a lot of experience going on there. As I didn't have experiences same as them, you know. So it was like proper. How do I say? It was proper test to start with. Was
yeah,
a proper,
yeah.
No? So yeah, pretty much was that like people helping you, teaching new things. So yeah, definitely.
Yeah, for sure, they were contributing for the amazing career that you had.
And,
yeah. But when you arrived, maybe you looked at Tony Adams and you saw him the same size as the statue that is outside now. So yeah, the same size as I see the statue of him outside Emirates. So yeah. So pretty much after he left Arsenal after 3 years, he joined Southampton, another historical club, but not with the same dimension, of course, as Arsenal. But a curious fact is that he's the only club that you represented in England that is based outside London. But probably was the one that was reminding you a bit more of home, as you could go for a walk by the sea, no?
To be honest, I could go and walk by Thames River.
Oh yeah, by the river, but not the sea, you know, like not the same.
Anyway, cold anyway, so you don't go in any of them. You will go in any of them. So anyway, no big deal.
Just look at. So that's it. So how it was the move, especially in terms of the mental side for you, because you were coming from Arsenal. And you were not just coming from like a small team. You are coming from Arsenal. How it was on that mental part, and how it was for you, that change?
No, to start with, it was good. You know, to start with, it was a chance to be playing and to. How do I say, to have a chance to be playing and participating in different, like play more games, because at the end of the day, that's what I was after, playing more games. So, and I know that so at Southampton I would have that chance to play more games and to be involved in more games. So, in that part of the situation or that view, it was great. You know,
yeah.
So I try to. Okay, let's make a move. Then let's see what I can get from this. You know, and it was exactly what I thought.
Yeah. You
know? So yeah, then this happened like that. I went for Southampton. Things worked well at the beginning.
Okay.
Worked well at the beginning, then some stage collapse, collapse. But new manager came in, new ideas. It was around March, new ideas, almost new everything, you know. Then wasn't in my favor, wasn't on my way.
Yeah.
So okay, that's the way things are. That's the way things go, like that. So, okay.
Yeah.
It was like that. Okay. It was like that. You have to accept it. But life moves on. You just have to move on with your life, with your career,
and
something else. That was really brief spell in my career in a club.
Yeah,
but I think it was important for my permanence, like in England, if I could say like that, or for my way to stay in England and to maybe open my eyes, wake up call, because it's all easy when you get there, and but like I did, so I got to England, and the league and the FA Cup and two charity shields, you know, all were brilliant in the first couple of seasons. Then suddenly it was like the world collapsed.
Yeah.
In my head, you know. So now I have to, okay, let's get back to work and find solutions. Because to be honest, I was there for that season. Then new manager came in. He didn't play me anymore since March. Then he moved. Then I moved to. No, then I was there. Then summer came. He didn't say anything to me during summer. So he didn't say anything to me during summer. I stayed there. So when he said to me that I've been released, he doesn't want my services. That was was late July, end of July, and the championship in England start a week earlier than the Premiership. So by then, my agent told me, I'm going through the full story now.
Okay, no, that's okay.
My agent tried to get me a club, but all the clubs were full, like closed them squads already.
Yeah.
Then I didn't have any more. I didn't have any more place.
Option.
So then I just remember that Tigana just moved to Fulham.
Yeah.
And I did remember to speak to Wenger, because I knew that Wenger had a good relationship with Tigana.
Yeah.
And I asked Wenger if he could speak to Tigana to see if he would have me there. And Tigana said, okay, as I don't know him well, tell him that he can come, but have to join us in France for a 10-day pre-season camp.
Okay.
Okay. And I said, okay, I've got nothing to lose anyways, because I've got 4 years contract with Southampton. But to be honest, if the manager doesn't fancy me, why am I going to be here, sitting here on these 4 years?
Yeah.
4 years and okay, because I've got contract. So I just my way to France. I went straight, to be honest, went straight to a training ground. I got there training grounds, sat with Tigana and his assistant, speak with him 5 minutes. Then he said, okay, go and get together with your teammates. And we're moving, we're going to the train station. So we went to, I think it's Waterloo, yeah? Go straight to France.
Right. Yeah.
Okay, we're going to France and we're going to the preseason. So I was ready. I got my staff with me. I was ready to go to France, yeah? So, yeah, I got a Waterloo with my colleagues. Let's go to France. And I went to France with the Fulham. Things went well there, the training camp. They liked me immediately. So we start like putting the things, stuff together for me and all this.
Yeah.
I enjoy it. I enjoy it pretty much. Then I go back. I go back to England.
Yeah.
Go back to England. Then we decide to speak to Southampton. Okay. To go there on loan, because they don't wanna buy me straight away. You know, so they said, okay, 1 season on loan, then with the buying option. Okay, let's go there that way. Won't be a problem. Nothing to lose. Let's move on. So, yeah, that's what the way it happens. Then the things went well. It was a good season. That season that you talk about, the 21 goals, you know, that I was a striker. Yeah, thing went well. Then they decided to sign me, and Southampton won me back. But by then, I just felt that I had a really important season with Fulham. I managed to get Fulham to the Premiership.
Yeah. Something
that they've been like growing, and they've been coming from the lower leagues. They've been coming up from lower leagues, and I said, now I can't be that, even that Southampton is my feeder club.
Yeah.
I can't be like that with Fulham, because I helped Fulham and they want me now. They're the ones who gave me a hand when I most needed. So I gotta stay. And I have a conversation with my agents. We went around to speak with Southampton. Thank them for like the wish to have me back. But at that stage of my career, I just couldn't take the risk again to go to Southampton. And still the same manager was there. What about if he goes again and, okay, I don't want him again, and what I'm going to be doing? At least there at Fulham, I knew that they want me there. I was a priority for them. And that was enough for me to decide and sign for Fulham. Yeah. But at the same time, when I decided to sign for Fulham, because during that year in the Championship, I managed to break into Portuguese national team. I had an invitation from Porto.
Okay.
To go and sign for Porto.
Okay.
And But the invitation from Porto, it came like during the summer. But the invitation for Porto came during the summer. So we have we talk a little bit like with my agents, with the president of Porto. We spoke. He said that didn't have like the amount that Southampton were asking at the time. He didn't have that amount of money. Then I said to him, hold on, let's try to get this sorted. Then he was trying to get that sort of money ready. He tried, he couldn't. Then I decided to go back, to go to Fulham. I decided to sign for Fulham. So the day I got on a van and I was making my way to go and sign for Fulham, that's when he managed to get the money or decide to pay what Southampton were asking for.
Yeah.
By then, my word was already there. My word was already, okay, I'll sign for you, Fulham, and we don't talk anymore about this. And my word was there, so I just couldn't change my words at the time. You know, I didn't sign for Fulham at the time, but I have decided and I gave them my word, so I couldn't do that. I couldn't do like however second word, you know.
Yeah.
So I decided to do that. I did sign for Fulham, and that's it. Then a few years later, I had the chance to 2 years later to go to Benfica. Didn't happen because they took a bit long to sign, to the process to sign and all that. So I just didn't want to wait again, because 2 years after, before I moved to Southampton, I had the chance to go to Sport in Lisbon, but the president, until today, I'm still waiting for his phone call. He said, no, go on your break, on your holiday, because I'm going to bring you back to Sport in Lisbon. And I went. That never happened. So I just said to him, you know what?
Yeah.
Forget about it. I'm not going to wait again, because I've already been through that. And I'm not pleased with that. So I don't want to do that like this. So I said, no.
Yeah, for sure. And it's interesting. Thank you, first of all, for sharing those stories. They are amazing. And you touched so many interesting points. You know, this is like a conversation. It's not an interview, like, you know. And you touched so many interesting points, especially the fact that when you gave your word, you know, that you stayed in there signing, it shows that that is very important also in football. The other thing that you also touched is like the fact that sometimes some players, when they come from in a young age, they come from such a big club, then they always think they are a player, you know, they still belong to that club, and they don't change their mentality. And you changed, and you had that such amazing career. And just to mention one thing, at the time, for example, when you moved to, if I'm correct, when you moved to Southampton, for example, we are talking about a smaller club, but we are talking a club that had Mark Hughes, at Matt Letizia, that was one of a great player, you know, and you know, like fantastic player James Beattie, I think, and Wayne Bridge.
Bridge was quite young.
Quite young, yeah.
But yeah, we had Letizia, we have Mark Hughes, that respect a lot, because everything he's done for Manchester United, you know.
Yeah.
So you have to respect him like as a legend, you know. Yeah. So definitely were there a lot of great players, you know.
Yeah.
Ripley was there as well.
Yeah. Yeah.
That he won the league with Blackburn Rovers.
Yes.
Yeah. So yeah, definitely that it was like you have to show some respect for those players. Yeah. Legends, because when I got there, wasn't that easy, but okay, managed to survive.
Oh yeah, and you survived very well.
Survive, you know.
Yeah, of course. So after, of course, after those that time. So you played also for West Ham after. You played for West Ham. And for the people that are not so familiar with London, can you explain a bit more the rivalry and the differences between the clubs and explain how you can be loved and respected by all their fans still until today? It's not easy, you know?
It's not easy, but I think it's a simple thing that calls work rate, you know? Because my work rate always been towards the team, you know, and to have the things sorted and make sure that I do all my work the way that the supporters were expecting me to, you know, and everything to happen. So I think that was like be loyal to them. That's what I always try to always been. I try always my best on the field. Never went on like thinking I could have done or I should have done. No, everything I did that was I was capable to. Because of course that we never know our limits. You know, that you always trying to find out what's your limits. You know, because you always think that okay, I know my limits. This is my limits. I can't do anymore.
Yeah.
But to be honest, it's not like that, you know.
We're never gonna
find out about our limits. What is our limit?
Yeah.
No one can say. So I think that was the most important thing, to be respected by all the supporters, even Fulham, West Ham, Arsenal. So
I'll say that's better than many trophies, you know, that they all respect you. If you ask all the fans from those clubs, they all love you, they all remember you. I think that's better than a trophy, you know.
I appreciate that because people like you. I've always been loyal to them, you know. Everything I did, you know, try to do. Give my best every time I go on the pitch. So this is kind of loyalty that you could give to them, you know, and that they would never forget.
Yeah,
you know? Of course. That if you're not loyal to them, they'll be a bit upset with you, because I believe that some of them got a bit annoyed with me when I left. But football is like that.
Yeah.
Not always things go the way you'd like to. You, of course, that you like to be somewhere, then sometimes things happen, then you gotta do it. But that's the way football is, you know, and people gotta accept that, you know. People gotta accept that.
Yeah, of course. Sure. We have here Nathan. I don't know if Nathan is still watching. Nathan, you are asking if you can ask something. Of course you can. You can ask. I'm not sure if Luis is gonna answer, but you can, depends on the question. No, of course.
Yeah,
if you ask it there, just go ahead and just ask. Yeah, and guys, anyone that is watching, just ask. As you can see, Luis is very easygoing, so just ask things. Make his life hard, because I'm making his life easy. So I'm joking.
Did Nathan come already with a question?
Yeah. Sorry.
What is his question?
Not yet. The question is not here yet. Let's see if he's gonna ask. I'll let you know. I'll put him here on the screen and you can see. Talking a bit more about your career outside the pitch. You've been like you said, you've been a scout. You've also been a coach. So you had both experiences. It's always good, you know, you become more complete. So you've been a player, scout, and so you have all the perspectives pretty much. So which one fulfills you more, and which one do you see yourself doing it, you know, for longer in the future? Coaching.
No, myself for sure. One day will be a manager.
A manager, yeah.
Definitely, because I'm studying towards that. I'm working towards that, so that's what I want to be.
For sure.
So, and That's what I'm looking for.
Okay, so one question. This one I didn't have in here. I just prepared a few things. So when you will be a manager, will you hire all the players that the scouts are going to recommend you?
the ones that I try to sign.
Yeah. It's not like that, of course.
I think by the time I'll become a manager, probably. Probably. I don't know. Depends. Let's see if all of these players are still available or if they already finished, if they're already gone. So I think is the most important is that. The most
of course. Like, yeah, of course.
You manage to do like to have a good like principles, because it's not easy to have good principles in football. I try to, because you're gonna be to your words from the beginning till the end. I think that is the most important.
Yeah, for sure. And one thing that shows that, something that shows that you are respected also, like we said, by the clubs that you represented as a player, as I mentioned before, and in fact that is the fact that you've been invited for some of them to work for them after you finish your career, like you mentioned, also Sporting, Arsenal, Fulham. They invited you to be part of their structures as a coach and a scout. That must mean a lot to you, of course, and it's a reflection of your professionalism. Do you believe that sometimes it's more than only looking at your paycheck and the end of the month as a player? It's also important to leave the doors open with your human side together with that same professionalism?
Yeah, of course. I don't, to be honest, like the paycheck for me will be the less important. Of course, that it matters because it will help you out. Yeah. But to be honest, I think it's more like the thing to be loyal to the clubs, to be loyal to the players, and to work and deliver always at my best abilities. You know, is the most important for me to deliver at my best ability.
Yeah. And the proof is there, like I said, you know. Otherwise, the clubs were not inviting you to be part of the structure, no? Yeah, if you were not competent.
So, if you're not a good professional, you don't feel that you leave your skin on the field, then, of course.
Yeah, exactly. So, also, during your career, you had great... We are almost finishing, okay? I'm almost letting you go.
Make sure that... You give a chance to people to have a few questions.
Yeah, if they ask, people are shy to ask questions, you know. So I don't know, you are intimidating people, but don't be, guys.
You know. No,
I'm joking. Maybe people will ask after, or you know, maybe people watch after also. So you had also great coaches such as Arsene Wenger, Glenn Hoddle, Gian Tigana, Chris Coleman, Scolari. Professor Gesualdo Ferreira, just to mention some of them. Was any of them, like, in particular, an inspiration for you or an influence or even encouraging you to become a coach?
I'll say to you that I had, as a manager and coaches, I'm going to name to you all of them from Fernando Mendes at Sporting Lisbon under 19s, Carlos Pereira, Jean Paul, Arsène Wenger, that I'm going through different scales now. Arsène Wenger,
Glenn Hoddle, no?
Glenn Hoddle, Gian Tigana, Chris Coleman. Alan Kirbishley. Who else? Alan Kirbishley, Zola, Gianfranco Zola. Steve Clark, the manager of Scotland. Steve Clark. I only have some Allardyce for a month, so I didn't really be part of my coaching journey or coaching then. Avram Graham.
Okay.
Then I had Chris Coleman again in Greece. Then I had a different one in South Africa. But I had Antonio Oliveira and Scolari and Carlos Queiroz. So out of those, all that, João Ferreira under 21s and Lourdes under 18s in Portugal. Out of those, actually, Oliveira as well, four periods in the first team, Romão in the Olympic Games. But out of all these managers and coaches that I had, only one didn't help me at all in my coaching career. And there's a few of them that I didn't really see myself coaching the way they did. But only one that I can't stand. I won't name it, but only one.
Yeah, of course. And and what about, is there any of them was trying like to incentivize you to become a coach, telling you, Luis, you have...
There is one that is still, nowadays I'm still speaking with him, because he helped me out like a lot in terms of to become a coach and manager. And that is, and the mental coach as well, that is Avram Graham. Avram Graham is such a nice mental coach, and I did learn a lot with him when we were West Ham, when he was there. He helped me out already in a couple situations, you know, so this is definitely Wenger as well. He had like a good brain as well for the coaching side, for the managing side. Steve, I love the way he coaches as well. I did learn a lot from him as well. Zola, I like the way like he remained calm and he passed or contagious you with the confidence, you know, the way he managed. Chris Coleman is like more like, okay, this is gonna happen. He's like a volcano, you know. Tigana was a character, you know. he has all these sides, you know, as a joke, as a serious, and it's a very technical manager that's always look for perfection, you know, in your technique.
Yeah.
Steve Clark, the way he coaches and all that, is the methods. I think I'm talking about Steve Clark twice, but definitely really good. Scolari is like a predictable manager manager of predictions, you know, because he can like go into international tournaments predicting what's going to happen and the way he's going to make the things happen. João Ferreira is like a professor, definitely.
Yes.
He's a teacher. He's a way he teaches, like on the field, definitely. I think this was the manager that incentivized me more to become. Carlos Queiroz as well.
Yeah.
Same generation, same type of João Ferreira.
Yeah.
Rui Caçador. Agostinho Oliveira, all of them got, I think they all went to the same school because they were all professors, you know.
Well, you were lucky because you had them as a coach, and they were lucky they had you as a player. So,
I was lucky to have all these managers and get a little bit of everyone.
Of course. And
I think it was good. It was good for part of my small career so far as a coach.
And for sure you build you have your own identity as a coach, but of course you take some ideas from one, from other. It's normal, you know, like, but they are not a copy of anyone. You are unique, like you are as a player, and you will be as a coach for sure. And I'm sure that
you create your own identity, of course, that if you're clever enough you pick little bit of bits here and bits there, because football is like that, coaching is like that. You gotta you want to learn, and you gotta watch people and try to learn from them. Don't think that you know everything, because the day you think you know everything, then it's halfway through to you to collapse.
Yeah, exactly. And that's why this is important to be sharing. And that's why I appreciate a lot that you are here also sharing with us, you know, your knowledge, because it's with people like you, and that we can learn bits with each one. And I would like to ask you another question. The last question, it's because you've been also, you've been a scout, you've been in that part, so you also understand that part. Do you see yourself, sometimes I ask this to some coaches, do you see that in the future, because as you know, scouting is not, people don't see scouting the importance that it actually has, you know, like in football. I'll see more in the American sports. They know exactly the importance that scouts have, but in football not yet. But I think in future it will happen. But do you see that, for instance, like you have now on a technical team, you also have like analysts to analyze the opponent. Do you think it makes any sense to you to have also a scout? That because you will be, you know, a coach's life is like you change from club to club, you know, you never stay, well, apart from some Arsene Wenger was one of them, but you know, it's an exception. Do you see that it makes sense in the future, or do you see yourself to have a scout being part of your technical team where it analyzes the players according to your ideas, and not only the scouts from the club? Of course, there is not a conflict of interests, but he also builds a database for yourself for when you move, he already knows the kind of players that you are looking for. Do you think that makes sense or not?
I think it's about trust. Because if you ask me, if you head coach or manager now, if you would work with the scout, a parallel scout or out of the system, I wouldn't. You know, I wouldn't, because if I have the ones at the club,
yeah,
I would work with the ones at the club, and I would build my database through the ones at the club. You know, if I'm an employee and I'm thinking I got chance to go to Premier League. Okay, so if I go to Premier League, I need players like this, like that. Yeah. Then I will speak with the independent scout to work for me on this, on that, because I will need to know players of this caliber or that caliber for this or for that kind of team I would like to. Then I will go to independent, you know, because there is managers that work with independent scouts,
yeah,
scouts, you know, when they employ the club, then they look for but that will, there is always conflict of interest,
okay,
because people will ask you, why do you want to work with the independent scouts and not with the club one, or why you want to work with both, you know, they always put a question mark, and when they start putting a question mark on you as a manager, then the system or the project will collapse. One day will collapse, you know?
Makes
so this is my opinion, you know?
Yeah, makes sense.
His own opinion, entitled to his own opinion. So this is my opinion, and I would do like that. I would work with the club, scouts, and if I'm an employee and I think I'm gonna get a team and I need players for this or this system or for that league or that league, then I will hire an independent scout.
Yeah.
Then I work with independent scouts, because I think, and I think that if you in a club and if you hire independent scout as well, and you get information from both sides, the club scout may think, why does he get someone? Because he doesn't trust me.
You know?
Could not be the case.
Yeah.
But he always, the club scout will put a question mark on himself. Why? He doesn't like me. Why is doing that? You know? And when you're working with people and there is no trust or there is question marks out of it,
yeah,
then the thing will collapse for sure.
Yeah, makes all sense. But I would say, of course, more in the, in a way that that you could reach different markets, that the club, for example, a specific market, or analyzing the same players, so a different market, for instance, or for example, to build only for yourself.
Because as I said, you know, could be for thousands of reasons, you know. But if people don't want to understand, or create things in their heads, then you could come with all the reasons, but they don't see like that.
That's true. That's true.
Because you could say, okay, for different markets, okay, then he's going to say, but why?
Yeah.
Is he? For many reasons, they will create stuff and things will collapse, and people will start putting question marks and won't be good.
Yeah, makes all sense, and unfortunately still like that, you know, but you never know if it's going to change in the future. But that's a very interesting point of view, and thank you for sharing. So I'm going to let you go, Luis. Thank you so much for sharing your ideas, your stories, your experiences, vision.
No questions? There is no questions?
No, not yet, as far as I can see, maybe.
No questions? Okay.
Well, I think we talked pretty much about everything. So guys, also share with your friends for them to have the chance to listen to all the knowledge that Luis was delivering to us. And I also give you a challenge: go and watch some on YouTube some videos of Luis playing, because you will be delighted, and it's great. You know, it's great that we have YouTube. For sure, there are many videos. Well, not so many like in these days, you know, that you can find all the time. But still,
glimpse. No, that should be okay.
Yeah. Well, by the way, what was your best goal? The best goal you scored. That could be in video, maybe, so for people to watch. Yeah.
Best goal probably was the goal against Newcastle United, probably.
Okay.
When we won at St. James Park, we won 1-4.
Okay.
Yeah. Probably that one. Yeah. The one against Portsmouth. When we beat Portsmouth at home, I think it was 3-0 or something like that.
Okay.
Yeah.
So guys, I'll leave the link then under the video, so we can all watch and share with us. And so thank you so much once again. And to tell you also, Luis, that Soccer Hub doors are open for you anytime, you know, so you are always welcome. And thanks also to all of you that have been watching. I hope you enjoyed as much as me, and also I hope you enjoyed, Luis. And
fun. Thank you very much for your invitation. I enjoy. So I hope all the viewers and listening will enjoy it as well. And
of course.
That will be
true. Yeah. Thank you so much. And most important of all, stay safe. Okay. And speak to you soon. Bye, guys. See you soon. Bye. Bye.